All right, Rabosai, good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Mem Hey. We obviously dedicate our learning to Aliyah of the Neshamas of those who were murdered in the terror attack in Eretz Yisrael, and those who were injured. We hope that those who were injured have a refuah shlema, and those ultimately who were murdered have an Aliyah. Okay, so let's begin. Mem Dalet Amud Beis. We left off three lines up from the bottom. Amar Rabba Bar Bar Chana Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Sarah Bar Bar Chana Sinin Rabbi Yochanan. Hakom Modim Be'eved Va'ovid Kochavim Ha'ba Abasi. So I'll Shavad Namza. So I'll say, remember again, so we discussed in yesterday's daf the idea, the fundamental machlokus in Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shimon HaTimni about what the impact is of forbidden relationships. That ultimately, again, that according to Rabbi Akiva, any chai ve'lavin produces mamzerim. However, again, according to Shimon HaTimni, it's only kares or misas based in type relationships that create a kares, that create a mamzer situation. Now the Gemara says, Rabbi Barachana says, and then we saw the opinion of Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon actually goes over the opinion that even kares and misas based in situations don't create mamzeris either. So we saw opinions on all ends of the spectrum. Now Rabbi Bar Bachana says in Rabbi Yochanan that everyone agrees that if a non-Jewish man or an Eved, Eved of course refers over here to Eved Kenani, have relations with a Bas Yisrael, Jewish woman, that the child that comes from that union is a Mamzer. So the Gemara says, Man HaKol Modim, who is everybody that agrees? To which the Gemara answers, Shimon HaTimni, it's Shimon HaTimni, Da'af HaGavdom, Shimon HaTimni, Ein Mamzer Mechai Ve'Lavin, even though Shimon HaTimni said yesterday that you can't become a Mamzer from Chai Ve'Lavin, from any relationship that is prohibited by a love, and bepashtos an eved or an ovid kocham, are both asr, are both isra lavim. Hani mili tap of mem hey, hani mili mechayve lavin de tafsi behu kiddushin. That is true with chayve lavin, where ultimately again kiddushin takes hold. Aval hocha. But over here, Ovid Kochavim the Eved, Kevan the Law Tavsi Pekidushin, Kechaive Krisos Tami. But over here, when does Shimon HaTimni say that Chaive Lavin don't produce Mamzerim? That's only when those Chaive Lavin, technically speaking, can marry the woman. But in this case, because there is no Kiddushin between the Eved or the Avodos Kochavim, or the Akam, or the non-Jew, therefore, by definition, the product, the offspring of that union, will be Mamzerim. Therefore, again, because there is no Kiddushin, therefore, by definition, it makes these relationships as if they are Kares-bearing relationships, and therefore, the offspring from this union will be Mamzerim. So the Gemara says, Mesir raises the Kasha, Ovid Kochavim, the Eved Haba Abbas Yisrael. If you have an Ovid Kochavim, a non-Jew, or an Eved that has relations with a Jewish woman, Havlad Mamzer, the child is a Mamzer. Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda says, I'll just show you something interesting. All right, actually, let's go on. Rabbi Shimon Yehuda says, Omer ein Mamzer, right? There is no Mamzer. Ela mimi she'isura iser erva. Va'anushkari. So we'll say Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda says it's not true. Lamaisa, again, if a Jewish woman has a child with an akum or with an eved, that child is not a mamzer, because the only time that a mamzer is created is when there's an iser erva that carries the punishment of kares. Ela amar Rav Yosef, man hakol modim. Who is it that we say that everybody agrees? Rebbe. Rather, it's the opinion of Rebbe. Afagav de Rebbe Omer, even though Rebbe said before, meaning also we're trying to figure out over here who is the opinion who said that Lamaisa Eved Ovid Kochavim and Eved Abba Bas Yisrael Vad Mamzer. Now the Gemara is suggesting it's Rebbe. So what's the chiddush in that? Even though Afagav de Rebbe Omer, even though Rebbe said before, Ein hadvarim halalu amurim elul diver Rabbi Akiva, shahaya osech halutza ke'erva, velei lo svirale. Even though Rebbe was the one who said before that it's only Rabbi Akiva who creates a mamzer from the case of Chalutza, because according to Rabbi Akiva, he looks at Lav Merah, also we established in yesterday's daf also, that according to Rabbi Akiva, the case of Chalutza must be an Isra Da'oraisa, because if it's not an Isra Da'oraisa, then even Rabbi Akiva would agree that Lamaisa, there is no mamzer created. So even though Rabbi was the one who said before, that it's only Rabbi Akiva who says that mamzerim results from Chayvei Lavin, nevertheless, but Ovid Velelo Svirle, and Rabbi himself does not subscribe to this, but Ovid Kochavim ve'eved moda. In the case of Ovid Kochavim and Eved, even Rebbe agrees that Lamaisa, they go ahead and produce mamzerim. Dichi asa Rav Dimi amar Rav Yitzchak bar Rav Dumi mishum Rabbeinu. Because when Rav Dimi came along, he said Rav Yitzchak bar Rav Dimi in the name of Rabbeinu, Ovid Kochavim ve'eved haba abas Yisrael havad mamzer. That Rabbeinu said that if a non-Jewish man or an Eved has a child with a Jewish woman, the offspring is a mamzer. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Acha Sar Habira. And by the way, Rabbeinu, of course, is Rabbi. Rabbeinu Acha Sar Habira, Rabbi Tanchum Berei de Rabbi Chia, Ish Kfar Ako. So also now the Gemara tells a story. So Rabbi Acha Sar Habira. Rabbi Acha Sar Habira just literally means Rabbi Acha, who was in charge of the Bira. Bira can mean a tower, Bira can mean a fortress. He was some type of official. And Rabbi Tanchum, the son of Rabbi Chia, from Ako, Poruk Hano Shivusa. They redeemed a group of Jewish women who were taken captive, the Asumi Armon to Tiveria, who were being led from Armon to Tiveria. So the Gemara says, Havachada, the Abrami Ovei Kochavim. There was one of the women, one of the captives, who became pregnant by her non-Jewish captor. Va'asu lekameid Rabbi Ami, and they came up for Rabbi Ami. Amrulu Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Hanina de Amri, Ovid Kochavim, the Ever Abba Abbas Yisra Havad Mamzer. So what happened? Rabbi Ami said, listen, I don't know what to tell you. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Hanina all said that if a Jewish woman has a child with a non-Jewish man, or for that matter with an Eved, that that child is a Mamzer. So we'll say this is very interesting. Amr Rav Yosef said to him, Rabusa Lemechshav Gavri, is it such a big deal to rattle off opinions? Meaning, what he was giving a little bit of Musar, meaning, is it such a big deal to rattle off the opinions of the people who say that the child is a Mamzer? I can tell you, on the other hand, Rav Ushmuel beBavel, Rav and Shmuel who lived in Bavel, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi bar Kafra Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi bar Kafra lived in Eretz Yisrael, Va'amrle Chalufe, others say it's just the opposite, bar Kafra Va'ayel Ziknei Darum, others say it will take out bar Kafra, Chalufe bar Kafra, and put in there instead Ziknei Darum. We'll say there are other people. The Amri, Ovid Kochavim, the Eved Haba Abbas Yisrael, Havlat Kosher. So we'll say, interestingly enough, Rav Yosef says to Rabbi Ami, Rabbi Ami, you are ready to tell someone that a child is going to be a mamzer because you're rattling off the opinions that say that it's aser. But I just want to point out to you that there are other opinions that say that such a child ultimately is totally, we'll see actually, well, if we say totally genealogically unblemished, but at least for sure not a mamzer. So now we see that what appeared to begin as a statement which everybody agreed with, namely, that an Eved or Ovid Kochavim that has relations with a non-Jewish woman, ultimately such a child is a mamzer. Now we're seeing that Lamaisa, not everyone necessarily agrees with that particular statement. That there's another school of thought that says Vlad is kosher. So the Gemara says, Ela Amar Rav Yosef Rebihi. But rather again, the Rav Yosef says this opinion must reflect the view of Rebbe. Dichi asa Rav Dimi Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Rav Dumi Mishum Rabbeinu Amru. That because again, when Rav Dimi came along, he said Rav Yitzchak Bar Rav Dumi said name of Rabbeinu. Ovid Kochavim Ve'ever Abba Abbas Yisrael Havlad Mamzer. So they're both saying again, they said in the name of Rebbe that if a non-Jew or a slave fathers a child with a Jewish woman, such a child is a Mamzer. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says Havlad Mekulkal. The child is literally Mekulkal, is messed up. That's not a familial statement. That is a genealogical statement. That the genealogy is messed up. So we'll say, now what does that mean? We're going to get to that in just a little bit. So the Gemara says, Leman. So what does that mean, the child is messed up? Meaning, so Mekulkal means that the child is genealogically blemished. So obviously, when we say blemished usually manifests itself in your inability to marry. Right? Meaning that you can't marry someone. So who can't they marry? So the Gemara says, Mekulkal Leman, Ilei Melekal, if you want to say that this child cannot marry into the assembly of the Jewish people, Ha'am Rabbi Yeshua Havlat Kasher, that can't be Rabbi Yosef, because remember, that saying that someone can't marry into the assembly of the Jewish people is effectively what? Effectively rendering them a mamzer. effectively rendering them a mamzer. Now, Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi was the one who said that the child ultimately is kosher. That the child is kosher. So if the child is kosher, so I want here we're saying the child is kosher. I want here we're saying it's mekulkel. So kosher sounds like it could marry into the general pool of the Jewish people. But who does mekulkel limit it to? Ella likuhuna. But rather, again, it must be what? It must be that lemaise. It means that the child cannot go ahead and marry into the kuhuna. But also, remember, this really only has a ramification vis-a-vis a girl. That it would mean ultimately at the end of the day that if a Jewish woman has a girl with a non-Jewish man, that or an eved for that matter, that lemaise, that child is kosher, that child is a full-fledged Jewess, except the kilkul part of the genealogy says that she can't marry a kohen. So the Gemara, now we'll say, now I'm not saying that's halacha yet, it's just this opinion. I'm sorry? Pogum, correct. Essentially interchangeable with the word pogum, correct. The kulu amorai, the machshiri, modu, and here it is, shavlad pogum lekuhuna mikavachomer la'amana. So we'll say, essentially, what the Gemara is saying over here is that even if you agree that Lamaisa, the child is not a mamzer. So now remember, now we have two different opinions. So we have one school of thought that says that non-Jewish man has a child with a Jewish woman, whether that non-Jewish man is an akum, right, a full-fledged Gentile, or an eved, really, it doesn't matter to us. Lamaisa, the child is a mamzer. Second opinion says, no, the child's kosher. But even the one who says the child's kosher agrees that what? That the child itself is pogum. That there is this genealogical limitation specifically vis-a-vis the kahuna. So the Gemara says, where do they learn that out from? That such a child is a pogum. Mikavachomer me'amana. So the truth is, we learn that out from a kavachomer from an amana. Ma'amana lekohen gadol she'in isura shava bakol. So remember, also we said this yesterday. An amana is asura to a kohen gadol. Now that is not an isur, that is shava bakol. That isur is not the same by everyone. What does it mean isur is not the same by everyone? That for normal men, for regular men, so ultimately again, there is no Isser and Amana. Man can marry an Amana. That's a specific and unique Isser by the Kohen Gadol. Yet we see what? Bina Pogum. Yet we see that her child is genealogically blemished as a result of this forbidden union. Again, I will say, again, the child obviously is not a mamzer. I mean, according to Rabbi Akiva, the child would be a mamzer, but we're leaving Rabbi Akiva kind of out of this discussion because he's in extreme position. So according to everyone else, the child is kosher, but yet the child is pogum. So if the Amana has a girl with the Kohen Gadol, lemaise, at the end of the day, that girl may not marry a Kohen. Zushi isura shava bakol. Eino din shebina pogum. Then certainly in this case, where the Isser is shava bakol, the Isser is equal by everyone. I will say, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Zush se isura shava bakol, Ovid kochavim aser, ben kohenes, ben levia, ben yisraelis. An Ovid kochavim, a Gentile man, is forbidden to any Jewish woman, independent of her standing within Klal Yisrael. Eino din shebina pogum. I mean, I will say, this Isser of marrying a non-Jewish man will go across the board. So therefore, it goes without saying that the child from that union should also be pogum, to which the Gemara says, but there's a pircha, there's a problem with the kal v'chomer. Ma la amana le kohen gadol shekein hi atzma mischalales. So you'll see, here's the difference. In the case of the amana for the kohen gadol, it's not just her child that's impacted, but what? It's the amana herself who is impacted. Because lemaisa again, she herself becomes nifselis lekahuna. So the Gemara says, you're right, hachanami, so too over here, where the Jewish woman has relations with the non-Jewish man, hachanami, kevan shenivala pasla. So too over here, you would say, that once she went ahead and she had relations with a non-Jewish man, she too becomes psula. What does this mean? If you look at Rashi, pasla, afilu mitruma debe nasha, v'choshekim milihi nasi lekoim. So we'll say, this is actually very interesting. We're going to see this a little bit later if we have time. The Shulchan Aruch in the beginning of Avinah Ezra explains that the definition of a zona is a woman who has relations with any man with whom she cannot have kiddushin. So for example, if a Jewish woman has relations with a non-Jewish man, she is not permitted to marry a kohen. That is halacha lemaisa. She's not permitted to marry a kohen because she has the status ultimately again of a zona. Now, the concept of having relations with a non-Jewish man, does two things. Number one, it precludes her from marrying a Kohen. Number two, if she is the daughter of a Kohen, it precludes her from eating truma from her family. So the idea that the Gemara says over here is actually the Kavah Chomer works quite well. Because just as the Almana herself is her status is impacted by the relations with the Kohen Gadol, meaning not only is her child a Pagum, but she herself becomes Nefstelis Lekahuna, so too again in the case of the Jewish woman has relations with the non-Jewish man, not only is her child Pagum, but what? Her status also is impacted vis-a-vis the kahuna, both in terms of her ability to marry a kohen, as well as in terms of her ability to consume truma from her own father's home. How do we know that in the case of where a non-Jewish man has relations with it, now they call it kohenes, levia, and yisraelis, any Jewish woman, independent of what her standing is within Klal Yisrael, shepasluha, that they have ultimately, again, invalidated her. Now Rashi understands invalidated her. Again, if you look at Rashi, shepasluha, kohenes mitrumas avia ulevia v'yisraelis kegon shenisu lekoin v'yodu lo banu v'kishamesu ba'alein hayu ochlos mitruma b'shul b'neihem v'imbala ovikochav v'evet pasla mitruma v'koshke mikuna. So we'll say, pasla over here, again, remember, means preclude her from eating truma, whether she's the daughter of a kohen or she was married to a kohen, and for that matter, marrying into the kuna. So how do we know that relations with a non-Jew will preclude a woman from eating truma anymore or from marrying a kohen? Shene emar, bless you, because the pasuk says, ubas kohen kisihye amano ugrusha. Because here the Torah is actually speaking about the case where the daughter of a kohen is widowed or divorced, and she doesn't have children. So the halacha is she's permitted to go back to her father's home, and well, obviously go back to her father's home, but the chapa, she's permitted to eat truma once again in her father's home. Meaning, let's say you have a daughter of a kohen who did not marry a kohen. So when she married, so in her husband's home, there's no truma. When she's married to her husband, she can't eat truma anymore. Let's say her husband dies, or she gets divorced, and she has no children. So the halacha is she's permitted to go back to her father's home and eat truma in her father's home. But the Gemara qualifies this. Mishi yeshlo amanos v'gerushin. Ba. When do we say that she could resume eating truma? That's only if she was married to a man with whom she's properly widowed or properly divorced from, i.e., she's coming out of a normative marriage. Yatsu ovid kochavim ve'eved she'en lahem amanos agrusha. This comes to exclude the case of where a woman had relations with a non-Jew or a woman had relations with an eved, where in this case over here, there's no widowhood and there's no divorcing, i.e., there's no marriage. Where there is no marriage, by definition, the Gemara understands that this would preclude her from ever eating truma again, and by extension would also preclude her from marrying a kohen. Amrli Abaye. So Abaye says, "My chazis de samchis adravdimi samuch adravin." Why is it that you see fit to go ahead and focus on or lean on the position of Ravdimi? Why don't you instead focus on the position of Ravin? Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "My chazdes samches ad Ravdimi, dabar mishmei derabi avlad mamzer." So essentially, what Abai is saying is, why speaking kind of to the exchange before? Why is it that we seem to be placing the emphasis on the opinion of Ravdimi, who says that the product of the union between the non-Jewish man and the Jewish woman produces a mamzer? Why don't you instead rely on the position of Ravin? Ravin says that the child is not a mamzer. Dechi asa Ravin Amar Rabbi Nasan Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Excuse me. Dechi asa Ravin Amar Rabbi Nasan Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi Morimba Lehetera. That ultimately, because Ravin came along and gave testimony and said that Rabbi Nasan and Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi both testified, both instructed that the child of a Jewish woman with a non-Jewish man is kosher. Uman Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. And who is Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi? Rebbe. That's Rebbe. So what do you see over here? Rebbe was quoted before as saying that the child is a mamzer. Now Ravin is coming along and saying that what? That Lamaisa, I have explicit instruction from Rebbe that the child is in fact kosher. So the Gemara goes weiter. Va'af Rav more bahetera. And even Rav agreed that the child of a non-Jew and a Jewish woman ultimately is kosher. Let's listen to this. Dahud asla kamid Rav. There was a man who came before Rav. So a man came before Rav and he said, "Rav, tell me, if a non-Jewish man files a child with a Jewish woman, what is the status of that child?" Amar lo, so Rav said to him, "Havlad kosher." So Rav said to the man, "Child is kosher." So apparently the man was asking about himself. Amar le, "Havli barteich." Great, could I marry your daughter? Right? Can I marry your daughter? Rav, can I marry your daughter? So lo yahavnilach. So Rav said, no. Rav said, no, I'm not marrying you. I'm not marrying off my daughter to you. Amr Simi Barchia, Lrav. So Simi Barchia said to Rav, Amri Inchino, people say, Gamla b'madai akaba rakta. So this apparently was a famous expression that people often say, that a camel, Gamla is a camel, Madai is a place, akaba, Kabra will say, is a barrel that holds a kav, which is a relatively small measure, rakta. So the camel in Madai dances in the kav barrel. The Rabbi said, now, the ridiculousness of that statement is, camels very large, barrels very small. So I guess it was an expression that ultimately was for, like, sometimes people make impossible things happen. In other words, Rav, you just gave a very novel halachic ruling, namely that the child of a union between a non-Jewish man and a Jewish woman is absolutely kosher. Not everybody agrees with that. So literally, right here before us, we see the camel is dancing in the kav barrel. Ha-kava, so Simi Barchia says, the barrel's here. Hagamla, the camel's here. V'hamadai, and we're in Madai. V'lo rakda, and now we're not going to dance. In other words, we will say what he was saying to him is, I don't understand. If you're telling the guy that he's kosher, then why won't you marry him off? Then why won't you give him your daughter? Amarle, so Rav respond, Ine hevik Yoshua benun, lo yahavna le barte. If the guy was like Yoshua benun, I wouldn't give him my daughter. What he was saying over here is like this. What he essentially was saying was that Lemaisa, it's not a reflection on the guy. I'm sure the guy is a great guy. I'm not marrying my daughter off into such a familial situation. Rav was the leader of the Jewish people. He has the right to go ahead and say that, again, for marriage purposes, Lemaisa, again, it's not the right shidduch for his son. Nothing to do with the caliber of the person. The guy is great. He's genealogically fit. He mamish might be like Yoshua Benun. I'm still not marrying my daughter off to him. To which Rav Simi responds, Amalei, Ihavik Yoshua Benun, you know, the truth is, if the guy was Yoshua Benon, it's okay. Because if you wouldn't marry off your daughter to him, he would have other shidduch opportunities. So the Gemara says, hi, imar lo yohevle, achrine lo yohevle. So Sibra Ashi says to him, listen, Rav, the truth is, here's the problem. The problem is, you're really one of the only people that paskins that this guy is kosher. Right? Everyone else holds that he's a mamzer. If you don't marry your daughter off to him, then what? Then what? No one's going to do it because they're going to think if Rav, who actually holds that it's mutter, is not doing it, then Lemaisa, again, no one else is going to do it either because they're going to say, all right, Rav maybe holds this technically or Rav maybe holds this intellectually, but at the end of the day, he's unwilling to go ahead and actively do it. To which the Gemara says, Lo hava ka'azil mikame. So the guy would not leave Rav alone. He kept pestering him. Yohev be'enei v'shachiv. Literally, Rav went ahead and placed his eyes on this individual, and he died. So we'll say, so the Marsha comments on this, that what ended up happening is that when it says Rav didn't kill him, Rav doesn't have the ability to kill someone, the idea is that Yohev be'rav means Kadosh Baruch Hu killed this guy. Why did Kadosh Baruch Hu kill the guy? Because the Marsha points out, again, this became now an impossible situation. Because first of all, the guy was a nudnik. That's number one. Rav said, no, go away. Right, go away. He said, no, don't force him to do anything that he doesn't want to do. And the problem, of course, would be that there was Rav going to see that Rav's position was indeed the halacha. And there was a concern that if this guy would persist and Rav would still not marry off his daughter to him, then ultimately, it would erode Rav's halachic position. And again, who knows what Rav's other motives were for not marrying off his daughter to this particular man. So Lemais, again, at the end of the story, the guy died. So moral of the story is no is no and move on, right? No is move on. Don't spend time trying to bang on the door of Shiduch and they're not going to work. So the Gemara says the following. Af Rav Masna, more about that here. Is actually very interesting. Even Rav Masna agreed with this opinion of Rav and ultimately one version of Rebbe, Latera, that the child of a union between a non-Jewish man and a Jewish woman is considered to be kosher. Af Rav Yehuda, more about that here. Even Rav Yehuda holds that the child is mutter. Listen to this. Because once such a situation came before Rav Yehuda, is actually very interesting. So meaning a man came before Rav Yehuda and his situation was the same as these previous cases, namely that what? Okay, lost my bookmark. Ah, thank you. So what happened? The man came before Rav Yehuda, and again, same case. Father is not Jewish, mother is Jewish. So Rav Yehuda said to him, listen, you know, you're kosher, but zil amter onase basminach. Either go somewhere where no one knows you. I'm telling you that you're genealogically fit. So go somewhere where no one's going to ask about your yichus, and you'll have less of a difficult time finding a shidduch, or marry your girl who's in the same boat as you are. Meaning, find another girl. There are people who have a father that's not Jewish. So go find a girl who's in the same boat as you are. V'chi asalei kamei d'rav. I'll say it's actually very interesting because also what this is saying is that l'maisa, as much as these rabbanim are paskening that the child is kosher, that the offspring is kosher, it doesn't change the fact that they're going to still have a hard time within the marriage pool, because at the end of the day, again, not everybody's going to want to marry such an individual. So the advice that they're from Rabbi Yehuda is getting, either go somewhere else where nobody knows you, or find a girl who's in the same boat as you are. V'chi asla kamei d'rava. Simu mekim b'fa rava. Amarle, o gali, o nasiv bas minach. Same advice. And they came before Rava. Rava gave either go exile yourself, go somewhere no one knows you, or marry someone just like you. Sholchulei. So the people, the residents of Bei Mechsi sent the following kasha to Rabba. Listen to this case. So again, we're not finished with the Eved and Rabba over this Kochavim piece. We'll come back to it. So if someone is half an Eved, half Ben Chorin, Rabba say, how does that happen? We had this before. Let's say you have an Eved that's owned by two people, Reuven and Shimon. Reuven emancipates his chelik. He emancipates his part of the Eved. You literally have a Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin. So the Gemara says, Haba Bas Yisrael. And he has relations with a Bas Yisrael. Mahu. So now, what is the status of that offspring? Amar Leh, so he said to him, Hashta, Eved Kulam Rinan Kasher, Chatzi Av Miboyi. So obviously, if we've just established, at least according to Rav, according to Rebbe, according to others, that Lamaisa, if a full-fledged Eved has relations with a Jewish woman, that the offspring is kasher, chatziav mi boy, is it even a kasher when it's just a chatzi Eved? Rav Yosef, mara dishmaita manu. Who said this opinion? So the Gemara says, Rav Yehuda, it is Rav Yehuda, v'ha am Rav Yehuda, mi shechatziav Eved v'chatziav ben chor, na'ba abas Yisrael, also v'at ein lo takana. So one second, now who's the opinion, who is the one who just said before that Lamaisa, again, if an Eved has relations with a Jewish woman, that the child is kosher? It's Rav Yehuda. But yet the same Rav Yehuda is on record as saying what? That if somebody is a Chatzi Eved, Chatzi Ben Chorin, and he has relations with a Bas Yisrael, that child, Ein Lo Takana. Now Rav Yehuda, Ein Lo Takana is code for Mamzer. It's code for Mamzer. Rashi says, Havlad Ein Lo Takana, Kilomar Mamzer Hu. To which the Gemara says, no. Ki itmar Rav Yehuda. We'll say, what's the case? Rav Yehuda says that chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin abba bas Yisrael, the vlad will be a mamzer. It's actually interesting. Kegon dikodish bas Yisrael, the nimtza tzad avdus sheba mishtamish be'eshes ish. What's the case, Rabosai? The case over here is where. Listen to this. A chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin. It's very interesting. Was mekadesh a woman. Right? He literally did kiddushin with a woman. So what happens? What ends up happening over here is dinimsa sad avdus shebo, when he has relations with her. So remember, again, there are almost like two men that have relations with her. There's the Eved man, and there is the Ben Chorin man. The problem is, the Eved man essentially is what? Is having relations with an Eishes Ish. Sad avdus shebo mishtamish pe'eshes ish. So Bosa is actually quite interesting. So the Maisu, the Gemara is suggesting over here, is that the problematic case, now again, remember, when we say she's someone else's wife, so remember, whose wife is she? She's the wife of the other half, right? She's the wife of the Tzad Ben Chorin. The problem is, Rabosai, remember, we see this halachically already, that to a certain degree, it's almost like he has a split halachic personality. And the truth is, those two people, as much as they are live in the same body, are really considered to be like separate halachic identities. Therefore, the Gemara says over here that when the Chatzi Eved Chatzi Ben Chorin is Mekadesh a woman and has relations with her, so the Tzad Ben Chorin is fine, but the Tzad Eved is ultimately having relations with an Eishes Ish. And therefore, again, that would be the case, Rabbi Yehuda suggests, that has to be the case where it results in a Mamzer, to which the Gemara says, in a very interesting case, V'amri Nardoi, Meshed Rav Yaakov, but one second, but the Nardoim said in the name of Rav Yaakov, the Divrei HaPosel, Posal afilu bepnuya. L'divrei ha-machshir, machshir afilu be'eshes ish. But Rav Yosef, interestingly enough, the Nardons qualified this ruling in the name of Rav Yaakov, and they said l'divrei ha-machshir. Rav Yosef, l'divrei ha-machshir means to those who say that an Eved who has relations with Abbas Yisrael, that the child is kosher, that is true even if what? That is true even if the woman is a married woman. Even if the woman is a married woman, and those who say that the child is puzzle say so even if what? Even if Lemaisa, the woman is single. In other words, Rabosai, what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that at the end of the day, is that at the end of the day, lemaisa, how you hold in terms of the nature of the offspring of a child of a Oved Kochavim and a Jewish woman is irrespective of the status of the Jewish woman. Either you hold, see, also, we're going to say this in Ksuvis, but essentially what's really happening over here is a fundamental discussion of bias akum shmebia or lo shmebia. Does relations with a Gentile man, does it ultimately have halachic significance or not? If you hold it has halachic significance, then lemaisa again, it's going to be mamzerus. If it doesn't have halachic significance, then at the end of the day, the child is considered to be unequivocally kosher. So if you look at it that way, then the truth is to a certain degree, it's almost independent of the status of the Jewish woman herself, whether she's married or she's not married. Because let's say she's married. Lemaisa again, and this has major ramifications because we know that if a married woman commits adultery, she is asura to her husband and the adulterer. The shayla is, if you hold bias akum lo shmebia, that relations with the Gentile are not halachically significant, then lemaisa, again, if a Jewish woman commits adultery with a non-Jewish man, she may still be absolutely permitted to her husband. So the point, we'll get to this all in Ksuvas. But the point that our Daim are saying is, nobody really holds of this idea of chatzi avid, chatzi ben chorin, either bias akum is problematic, independent of the status of the woman, or bias akum is not problematic, independent of the status of the woman. To which the Gemara says, because ushtemo amdua elam eishes av, and both learned it out from the prohibition of a father's wife. Man de pasul, the one who says that bias akum is pasul, savar ma eishes av dolo tavsi bekedushin havlad mamzer. Because it was in the case of a father's wife, just like a son can't marry a father's wife. Now lav dafka, this is his mother. It doesn't have to be the mother. It could be the father's, my father's wife, not my birth mother. So just like a son can't marry his father's wife, meaning Rabosai, kiddushin is not that's an isser karis. It's an isser karis, isser misa. Therefore, again, kiddushin doesn't even take effect. And therefore, avlad mamzer, if a son fathers a child with his father's wife, that child is a mamzer. Af kol lo tavsi b'kiddushin avlad mamzer. So too, again, any case in which kiddushin will not take effect, any relationship which cannot be solidified through kiddushin, ultimately will produce mamzerim. Therefore, Abbo say what? Again, is there kiddushin with a non-Jewish man? The answer, of course, is no. And therefore, the ma'isa, again, the child will be a mamzer. Uman de machshor, on the other hand, the one who says that the child is kosher from the non-Jewish father, savar ma eishes av de lo tavsi b'kiddushin, lachrine tavsi b'kiddushin. So, Abbo say, in the case of eishes av, in the father's wife, so I, the son, can't marry my father's wife. For me, kiddushin doesn't work. But what? Other men could technically affect kiddushin with her. Meaning, I will say, so she's not off limits to kiddushin. It's just as a son, as a father's son, I can't affect kiddushin with her. So to again, la fuki ovdei kocham ve'eved delo tafsi b'kiddushin klal. This to come to exclude, however, the case of ovdei kocham ve'eved, where there is no kiddushin at all. Elo ki itmar Rav Yehuda. So when did Rav Yehuda say that chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin, that fathers a child with a Jewish woman, that such a child is a mamzer? So what is that case? Kigon shabo al eishes ish. Shabo say, no, what's the case? The case is not where he had relations with his own wife, where he was mekadish, but rather what? Where the chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin has relations with a married woman, a woman who's married to someone else. In that case, what happens? Nimsa tzad chiru shabo mishtamish be'eishes ish. Shabo say, in that case of a chatzi eved chatzi ben chorin who commits adultery with another man's wife, now I understand why the product of that union is a mamzer. Why, Rabbo say? Because remember, when he has relations with that woman, there is a part of him that is what? That is free man. That free man, i.e. full-fledged Jew, is having relations with a married woman, and therefore, by definition, that produces mamzerim. Rav Gaza. So Ravina said, Rav Gaza said to me, Ikla Rabbi Yossi bar Avin la'asrin. Rabbi Yossi once went to the cities, v'hava uvda bepnuya, v'achsher. There was an episode where what? A single woman had a child with a non-Jewish man, and Rabbi Yossi bar Avin was machshir the child. He said the child is kosher. Be'eshesish, there was another episode that happened with a married woman, upasel, and he ruled that that ultimately the child was pasel. So the Gemara says, what's the case over here? Fine. So the pasuk means mamzer in this case. Amar Rav Sheshes Lididi, Amar Li Rav Gaza, Lo Rav Yosi Bar Avin Hava, El Rav Yosi Bar Bizvid Hava. So Rav Sheshes said, I have to tell you, I think you got the names mixed up. Rav Gaza told me it wasn't Rav Yosi Bar Avin, rather it was Rav Yosi Bar Zvida. Va'achsher bin bepnuya bin be'eshes ish. And the case actually was what Rav was saying, that in both cases where the Gentile man fathered a child, either with the single woman or with the married woman, in both cases he paskin that the child is kosher. Amar Li Rav Achbrei Rabba, the Ravino, Ikla Amemer La'asrin, Amemer once went to the cities, Va'achsher Bein Pnuya Bein Be'eshesish. And similarly, again, Ravina Amemer paskin that what Rabbo say, that halacha lemaisa, if a non-Jewish man fathers a child with a Jewish woman, whether she's married or not married, that child is absolutely kosher. V'hilchasa, and what is the halacha? Oved kocham ve'eved haba abas Yisrael. Rabbi said, this is the halacha, that if a non-Jew fathers a child with a Jewish woman, havlad kosher. The child is absolutely kosher, bein bepnuya, bein be'eshes ish. Whether the woman is married, or whether the woman is not married. Now, I just want to show you something very interesting over here. This is actually a very dramatic halacha. So this is in Evan Ezer, Sif Dalit. Now, Rabbi said, remember, Simon Dalek, excuse me. So listen to this. The halacha is Akum. The Eved Shabbat. No, that's wrong halacha. That is wrong halacha. I'm sorry. This is Sipay. I'm sorry. Sipay and Yutas. Listen to this. Okay. Akum. The Eved Shabbat al Yisrael. Abbas Yisrael. Bein bepnuya. Bein eshesish. Whether she is single, whether she is married. Havlad kosher. The child is kosher. I will say, now here's the interesting part. And just very quickly, because we only have a few minutes. You know, if you notice, what the Gemara doesn't mention over here is what? The child doesn't, the Gemara doesn't mention anything about pogum. Remember, we spoke about before that even those who seem to say that the child is kosher would still hold that the child is pogum. Meaning, let's say, for example, if it's a girl, lemaisa, again, they would say she can't marry into the kahuna. Yet, the Gemara didn't say anything about that. Now, the Shulchan Aruch does say, upogum lo kahuna. The Shulchan Aruch does say that as much as the child of a union between a Jewish woman and a non-Jewish man is kasher, meaning not a mamzer, that child is absolutely pogam lakuna, meaning, again, this really only impacts a girl. She cannot marry a kohen. Now, again, that's in your test. That's in Sif Yotes. If you go back in Simen Dalet, in Sif Hey, so here, interestingly enough, the Shulchan Aruch seems to say the same exact thing. He says, quotes anybody, any of these Asher people who come on Abbas, just listen to this, let's just say it quickly. So the Beis Shmuel comments over here, this is in Sif Beis in the Beis Shmuel, Elo Shepogum, Harif Mesupok Bazeh, Im Heim Pegumim Lekuhuna, Varamam Kosev Dehim Kshirim, Elo Harosh Kosev Dehim Pegumim Lekuhuna Mekav Lechomer, Kohen Godla Baal Mamono, if I skip down a little bit, he says, V'lifsok La, L'psak Halocha Nira, L'chore Bedi Evet, Ein Motzin in Nisei Slekoin, Tal Ramam Chein, Ukosher, V'chilef, so well, I should have given this to you in print. The Beis Shmuel quotes the fact that the Rambam, when he codifies this halacha, does not mention anything about pogum. He doesn't mention anything about pogum. He just simply says that if a non-Jewish man files a child with a Jewish woman, the child is kosher. But yet again, remember, where does the Rambam get that from? Very simply, the Rambam gets that from because the Gemara here makes no mention about that. The way the Rush and others understand is that since the Gemara said before that the child is pogum, there's no need for the Gemara to restate that over here. So there's a fundamental machlokus between the Rush and the Rambam as to how to understand this Gemara. The Rambam looks at this Psak Halacha, and the Rambam says the conclusion of the Gemara is the child is unequivocally kosher, even to marry into the kahuna. The Rush says, Rambam, what are you talking about? You can't ignore what the Gemara said before, and therefore, halacha lemaisa, the child is kosher. Yes, not a mamzer, but the child is absolutely pogum. The Shulchan Aruch paskin is like the Rush, and says the child is pogum, but the Beis Shmuel says this has a very important ramification. Lechatchila, so let's say again, Jewish man, non-Jewish man, has a child with a Jewish woman, they have a daughter. So lechatchila, we would tell that girl that she cannot marry a kohen. We would tell a kohen, you cannot marry her, but let's say they got married. Let's say they did get married. The Beis Shmuel says, Bidi Eved, we would not make them dissolve the marriage. So again, remember, in deference to those two Piskei Halachos. So the Chatchila, we pass like the Shulchan Aruch, like the Rush, we would not sanction such a union. But if it were to happen, then Lemais, again, we would not make them dissolve the marriage. I'm sorry? she could eat if he was a, yeah, for allowing the marriage, she'd be permitted to eat truma also. That is, I mean, again, because remember, you're allowing the marriage based on the opinions that hold that she's not pogum. If she, in the ex post facto, she's not pogum. Okay, if she's not pogum, she could eat truma. But l'chatchila, of course, we wouldn't allow it. Rava. Achshel Rav Mari Baracha. So also listen to this. So Rava was Machshir Rav Mari Baracha. Rav also, now you can already tell the fact that Rav Mari was known by his mother's name. Right? Very strange. And you never see that. In fact, is obviously something's up with his father. We'll say this is the famous story of Rav Mari. Rav Mari's mother, Rachel, was taken captive. She was taken captive, and she was impregnated by her Gentile captor. But that's not where the story ends. Her Gentile captor then converted. Amazingly enough, she was Makarifim, I guess, right? She converted, which is amazing by itself. What happens? His name was Isser. Interesting name, right? Yeah. His name was Isser. That was not his. That was his Gentile name. It was not, but that was the name that stuck, right? It's not very popular among the baby naming list, you know. His name was Isser. Now, what's interesting is the following: as much as Rav Mari's biological father was now also Jewish, Lemaiskin, remember we spoke about it, interesting of halachically what the nature of the relationship was. Therefore, he was known simply by his mother's name. So we'll say it's actually very interesting. So Rava did two things. First of all, he said Achshir Rav Mari Baruchel. First of all, he said that Rav Mari Baruchel was genealogically fit. Obviously, I will say, so remember, Rav Mari Baruchel is exactly this case where Lemaisa again, his father was a Gentile who ultimately fathered him with a Jewish woman. So first of all, Rav is saying the halacha Lemaisa child is fit. Not only that, Umenaye beporsi de Bavel. He appointed him literally to a leadership position in Bavel. Now I will say, well, we're going to see something very interesting. Va'afagav, that even though the pasuk says you shall place upon you a king, the Rebbe says what we learn from that is that anytime you appoint someone to a leadership position, the halacha is that person must come from two Jewish parents. The Rebbe says there's a discussion about what type of leadership we're talking about over here. So it appears to be that it is more like monarchical type positions where a person really has exceptional silvers. So such an individual should come mikarev. Such an individual should ultimately come from within the ranks of the Jewish people. Hi, Kevan Dima Meisol Mikarav Achecha Karinan Bey. So first of all, we'll say Rava Paskin is that Lemaisa Rav Mori satisfies the criteria because as long as you have a Jewish mother, you are called Mikarav Achecha. You are called from within the midst of the Jewish people. And that is enough to be appointed to a leadership position. So the Gemara goes weiter. Avdei Rabbi Chiya bar Ami at Pelei Lahu Oveles Kochavim L'Shem Insisa. So what's it's actually very interesting. So first of all, take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Beparsei de Bavel Gaboi Mimunim Al Yisrael." This is talking about again a leadership position appointed over the Jewish people. Va'af Agav Diger Ba'alma Asul Nosa Parnes Al Yisrael. So what's it? Even though normally, if a person was a convert, you would not be permitted to go ahead and appoint them to a position of leadership over the entire Jewish people. Da'amar Marabo say that comes from Som Tasim Alecha Melech. Essentially, that comes from Som Tasim Alecha Melech. You shall place upon you a king, Mikarev Achecha, from the midst of your brethren, indicates that anyone who occupies a position of leadership over the Jewish people has to go ahead and come Mikarev Achecha, from within the midst of the Jewish people, meaning a naturally born Jew. However, look what the Gemara says. Look at Rashi says, excuse me. However, hi, Kevan Dim Yisrael Mikarev Achecha Karinbe. So, it's actually very interesting. So, I might have thought before this exchange that what does Mikarev Achecha mean? Again, logically, what would you say Mikarev Achecha means what? Two Jewish parents. Kamashmo and Rava says, no, even one Jewish parent. Now, of course, it's never one Jewish parent. Really, what it means is one Jewish mother, right? Because a person has a Jewish father, non-Jewish mother, that Jewishness is really halachically irrelevant. As long as one has a Jewish mother, even though there is a Gentile father, nevertheless, that's called Mikarev Achecha. So essentially, Rava established two things. Number one, that Lemaisa, again, if a child has a Gentile father, that child is still totally kosher. That's number one. Number two, that child is still called Mikarev Achecha. All right, well, you know what? We'll stop over here. We'll pick up with Avdei Rabbi Chiya tomorrow in our session.